wanted me to publish and have what our mission statement and values are. So that you'll see that insert that was adopted by the board many years ago, but we don't have a way to post it like we did. So that's in there. You can look at it. If you have any questions, let me know. Also, another announcement. Do you know the hardest job that is at any congregation? The person who controls the thermostat. And that's been my job up until right now. And I hereby submit my resignation as being the controller of the thermostat. I'll stay on as your pastor if you'd like, but I'm not touching that thermostat again. I think last week it was a little chilly. So here's what we're going to do. You know, we're moving like quality is everyone's job. Temperature is everyone's job. The key's in the box. If you get hot or cold, just take care of it yourself. Leave me out of the equation. All right. Love you all. Now, any other announcements? All right, let's go to prayer request. This has been, it's a praise, this has just been a real week of birthdays. About 10 days ago, Mark had a birthday. Last Sunday, Gwen had a birthday. Ann had a birthday. Yvette's birthday was yesterday. Mona's birthday is tomorrow. My daughter's Emma's the day after that, and then Angie's the day after that. And there's a birthday that is also today, but it didn't make it into the newsletter. I might talk to Katie about that. Do you know that today is the 84th birthday of Lee Majors? You remember the Virginian, the $6 million man? This is his birthday today. He's 84 years old. We couldn't get him to attend, but he had an understudy that I guess we could call the $6 million man of Lynchburg. And Craig Stevens' birthday is today. So why don't we just, for all these birthdays we've mentioned, why don't we all do a rousing round of happy birthday? So Mona, you have to sing to yourself. Treatments for about 8 weeks, so every Tuesday. So keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, Gail.
Yeah, my mom, as most people know, is in rehab right now because of fracturing her shoulder and her hip, and she is not able to move on her own at all. She's a two-person assist to get up or do anything. She has to go all the way into town tomorrow to get x-rays and see the orthopedist to make sure she's healing properly. And that's going to be a challenge to get her to that appointment and back without it being tremendously uncomfortable.
Okay. Let's keep Elgene in our prayers. We also want to keep Martha in our prayers. She's not in her family. She's not here today because she's at a Hike for Hope in Bedford. And this past week was would have been the 18th birthday of Jackson, her grandson. So let's keep Heather and Martha and all of them in prayer. Anyone else? Let's go to prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you. And we do come celebrating life. You declared that you came to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we do truly and sincerely celebrate each new birthday that those we love and care for are able to share. And we just thank you for their lives and just ask your blessings upon them. We also thank you for your presence when our physical life ceases. And we thank you that your promise to never leave nor forsake us is not dependent or contingent upon physical life. You conquered physical life so that through you we can have eternal life. And we thank you for that only hope we have. And I pray that in the midst of families that are grieving, the Atkins, far more closer time-wise, but still yet, the Cunninghams and all those that have experienced loss, that grief still drives us to look to you as our only hope. And we do that, and we pray that you would comfort the Atkins and the Cunninghams. We thank you for those that are improving. We thank you for Wayne. We pray that you'll continue to be with Glenn. May these treatments be effective. Be with Lucy. Be with Betty. We pray that you'll continue to be with them physically and be with Elgene as she is just recuperating. We also lift up Yvette's great-grandson, Camden. We just pray that you would draw close to him, bring peace where the waters are troubled, encourage the larger family. We thank you for David and Yvette's faithfulness, not only to you, but to their family. And we just pray that together they would be strengthened as we commit this young man to you. We pray that all of us would walk in that life, abundant life, that you've come to provide. And we look to you as the only source. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. If you'll look with me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the
be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look to the insert, we will use the 14 verses of Psalm 116, calling each to worship. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him.
The cords of death entangled me, the grip of the grave took hold of me, I hated grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought very low, and he helped me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated me well.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living.
I believe, even when I said, I have been brought very low. In my distress, I said, no one can be trusted.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants.
The Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
The very first hymn that we sang at the very first service of our existence as the Well, and I chose it because I wanted it to be our charter. And 12 years later, it's still our charter. So let us stand and sing together hymn 346.
Christ, your Lord. lesson is from Acts 2:14a, 36 through 41. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many others, words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls.
I think I might need to just give a little bit of guidance on this. I will call upon the Lord. The one of our scriptures today talks about calling on the Lord in Psalm, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do is I want you to sing the second line that says unison. I will call upon the Lord. Go all the way to the top of the second page where the one is for the first ending. Go back and do the same thing again. So the second time, if you're brave, like I'm thinking, I might just play the top line for the discant. Then we go to the second, but if you want to be the answer, so it's like a call and echo. That's the way it's written for the second time. Then when you get up here, the Lord liveth and blessed be the rock. That's when you got to hit it, okay? And then you got another one and two ending again. So once you sing it the second time, you got to hit it even harder, okay? The Lord liveth and blessed be our rock, okay?
Made us your children. we are joyous and bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is 1 Peter 1:17-25. If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Amen.
here, now, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11, those who were with them, gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate the instruction that you gave, Mona. Because I guess mine's think alike. I do it every couple, 3 years, and planning in the next couple, 3 weeks to do what I call a rubric service. If you're familiar with the Book of Common Prayer, the directions that you're not supposed to say, but they're giving you direction, are called rubrics. And I often like to have a rubric Sunday where, beginning from the very back, before we come in, I explain why we do everything in our worship service. And I find that helpful for people that maybe don't know, why do I lift this, why do I do that, why do we do the other? And just explain why we do, so we have a greater appreciation of our worship service. So I appreciated that this morning. Grace and truth be yours from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite things to study, and it's well established that I'm a pretty dorky person, but one of the things I always like studying is a field of study that's called epistemology. Epistemology sounds like a big word that's fun to say, but all epistemology is how do you know? And Cher's saying about that, how do you know? Now, the answer I come up with is usually a little bit more complicated than it's in his kiss, But she wanted to know, how do I know? And epistemology is, how do you know? And how do you know? And in the thinking of epistemology, whether you use these terms or not, you have the same thoughts. There are things that we apprehend, and there are things we comprehend. Let me give you an example. We apprehend something like 2 + 2 = 4. You apprehend it. You get it. Teacher puts two apples and put them together, 1, 2, 3, 4, you got it. You don't need to keep going over that lesson. You can apprehend in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay, you got it. You don't need to keep hearing it over and over, you got it. You apprehend it. Maybe you could call that the facts of something. The other type of knowledge is comprehension. You might get it and apprehend that in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, but why did he do it? That's not something you just sort of get. You have to comprehend it. It takes time. Let me give you another way to maybe, and I am going somewhere with this. It's not just a philosophy lesson. Let me give you another distinction between facts that are apprehended and truth that needs to be comprehended. Growing up, I lived in a neighborhood. I love my neighborhood. It's still there. It's changed substantially. But I love growing up in the area called Perrymont. And I had a certain knowledge of Perrymont. But the knowledge I had was different than the knowledge that the postman had. The mailman, he knew where the Lindsays lived, and I may not have been able to tell you their street address, but I knew that that's where my best friend lived. The mailman knew where the Shainers lived. I may not have been able to give you their street address, but I knew I was really jealous of him because he was a whole lot better looking and played sports all the time. The mailman knew where the Dillards lived, but he didn't know I wanted to strangle their chihuahuas that barked all the time. There's two different types of knowledge. You're getting it now, aren't you? There's this factual knowledge where you might know the mailing address, but then there's this more comprehensive knowledge. We might call it personal knowledge. So let me give you the premise of the sermon, and then we'll get into the text, having put that background of these two types of knowledge, maybe fact and truth. My premise is, your level of peace and or anxiety is absolutely determined by what you know. Your level of peace and or anxiety is absolutely determined by what you know, in that latter category of knowing. Let's look at Peter. Now, we read this wonderful passage that Tom read for us of this marvelous preacher at this first sermon. But let's back up. Let's not back up very far. Let's back up a month and a half before this event, and there's a picture of a Peter standing around a fireplace, a wood fire. And it's recorded in each one of the Gospels, this situation about a month and a half earlier. And there's a part of me, while I understand that the Holy Spirit inspires all the Scripture, there's a part of me that think Matthew, Mark, Luke, John probably loved being able to throw a little bit of mud on this guy that seemed to be the main character all the time, Peter, because all four of them recorded. And what that incident is when Jesus Christ predicted that Peter was going to deny him three times. All four of those predicted that. And all four of those tell the response Peter had. In Matthew,
It says, after he heard the cock crow and he had denied Jesus three times, Matthew says he began to invoke curses on himself. In other words, he wanted to die. He had such a level of anxiety denying Jesus Christ, having all his hopes and dreams die on the cross. He truly wanted to die. He cursed the day he had been born. Mark says that after he heard the cock crow and knew he had denied Jesus, Mark says he broke down and wept. He just lost it. He broke down. It's similar to what Isaiah 6 said when he said, "Woe is the Lord, I am disintegrated." Peter knew, "I'm not holding it together very well." And Luke says he wept with deep bitterness over life and his own behavior. That was a month and a half before what Tom read for us today. Peter, this cowardly man, frightened by little teenage girls' questions to him, felt anxiety to the point of being suicidal, weeping bitterly, thinking that everything he had was broken asunder. Now, a month and a half later, that 95-pound weakling has become a Charles Atlas. And if you look at what Tom read in Acts, he is so bold. He's no longer cowering. He's standing up, and he's lifting his voice, and he's pointing his finger at the ones who did it and said, "You crucify the Lord." He called him out. So I've got to ask you, what happened? I want to know his secret. What happened between this 95-pound emotional, spiritual weakling who was eaten up with anxiety and disappointment? And a month and a half later, he has the boldness to stand up and declare Jesus Christ forcefully and with all boldness. I'm going back to my premise. It's what he came to know. What he came to know. The word here in Acts for know, it's another fun Greek word to pronounce, gnosko. And we get the word Gnostics. You may have heard about the Gnostic Gospels and the Gnostics. Gnosko. And what gnosko is to come to know, it's a process to come to know or understand through personal and intimate experience. It's not just getting it. It's not just knowing the address. It's knowing personally. So what happened between the two? If you'll turn with me to John 21, we'll see what happened. Between his denial and now his bold declaration, Jesus rose. And Jesus hung around for 40 days trying to get his disciples ready. And if you'll begin with me in verse 15 of John 21. When they had finished breakfast, now of course you know this is Jesus is resurrected, but he's not yet ascended. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." See, what we see here, and because we're all good at simple math, if you followed what I just read, he gave Peter three times to to affirm his love for him. One for each one of the denials that Peter had made. And so what we learn, what we grow to experience through trials and mistakes and disappointments and our failings and our stupidities and our sin, is what we know is we serve a God who always allows a do-over. Always allows another opportunity. This is why in the first thesis of the 95 thesis, that life is to be one continual act of repentance. I've heard pilots, airline pilots, say that when they leave one coast heading to the other, that their airplane, once put on autopilot, is off course about 96% of the time. 96% of the time, that airplane is off course just slightly. But that autopilot is always making repentance, always making adjustment, always coming back to course. And the Holy Spirit in us is always in the midst of all the trials and difficulties and stupidities and sins and failings and thinking that everything has just gone to pot, is always reminding us to come back to center. You've got a God that loves you. You've got a God that died for you. You've got a God who's a far better grace giver than you are a sinner. I'm going to take Apostle Paul to task in a way. If you follow his life, the longer Paul lived, the worse of a sinner he was. And I bet some of you think you're pretty good at sinning. Some of you probably think that you've got sinning down pat. I sometimes think I don't miss an opportunity to get impatient. I'm real good at it. And sometimes we think, like Peter, that when it comes to sin, there's nobody more accomplished than I am. The good news is, brothers and sisters, is no matter how good you are at sinning, God's a whole lot better at forgiving. Because his forgiveness is perfect and it's eternal. And all we need to do is have that come back. And we know that from our experience. And Peter, looking back, as I close this up, Peter is an older man, looking back 20-some years after both his denial and this first sermon. We read these words. You've heard them, but now read them, listen to them from the context of an older Peter making reference. Knowing that you were ransomed, redeemed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The good news is, brothers and sisters, his grace is absolutely unlimited. And that is our hope. And the one thing we need to know is we are redeemed. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessing God, you walk with us from the Jerusalem of our failure to the Emmaus of your glorious revelation. You made us to be your companions, and you gave us food and drink, that we might share your substance with you. You created us from the dust of the earth, and you recreated us by water and the Spirit. You called your chosen people, you sent Moses and the prophets, and you came along among us in Jesus, that we might know you in his crucified and broken body, and celebrate you in the everlasting joy of his resurrection. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Breaking God, when your son sat at table with his crestfallen disciples, he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Come among us now in the power of your Holy Spirit, that your people may discover you in the breaking of the bread, that you may stay with us and make your home among us, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Sharing God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, repeat among us your Son's actions of taking, blessing, breaking, and sharing, that we may take, bless, break, and share us, that the world may recognize you in the way you act on our lives. Breathe your Spirit on your church, that we might fill our hearts on fire as you talk with us and explain the scriptures to us. Inspire all who stand still, looking sad. Open the eyes of all who are kept from perceiving you. Bring your bread of life to feed all who hunger in body, mind, or spirit, until the day when we live your life abundant with the communion of saints in the presence and companionship of your Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Understanding Christianity
requires an appreciation of paradox. Not contradiction, paradox. It's what is called the happy exchange. We are sinners. We get his righteousness. Sin abounds. Grace abounds even more. Jesus tasted death so that we could have eternal life. And his body was broken that ours could be held together by his grace. We look nowhere else than to this, our Passover lamb, who was slain for us. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive. After you receive by intinction, please come forward and have a prayer. The card's behind me. If you'd like to send a card to someone who's heavy on your heart, and let them know that you lifted them up at the table of our Lord. We'll also have an opportunity at either corner for you to have prayer and time of anointing. If you'd like to have someone pray with you, there'll be someone at either corner. So I would invite you to come forward. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast. are sustained from your table. A meal that reaches back, forward, and in the now. Reminding us in the perception of Jesus Christ, we are taking that drink from which we will never thirst again, that bread from which we will never hunger, knowing that what we truly know is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is our hope, our peace, and our strength, and our Savior. We pray in His holy name. Amen. I'd ask you to stand, and we'll close our worship with the final hymn. Serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.